Blog Talk Radio.
Song, this ain't no ordinary word. This word carries power. This word carries light. This word is medicine to our flesh. This ain't no ordinary word. Praise God. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to FMAM, For Men About Men, where we come together to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's word that enhances us as we strive towards the mark of spiritual maturity or perfection as men. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord, I just thank you right now for this golden opportunity, to again, Father God, be able to share the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding that you've given me, Father God, this day. I thank you, Father God, as I go forward. I ask you that I decrease every day, and that the Holy Spirit would increase in me as I move forward on this journey. I'm praying right now, Father God, for the men, Father God, in the world, across the board, Father God. Not, it doesn't matter what race, what ethnicity, Father God, what age, Father God. I'm praying for all the men, no matter what their role, status, or position is. You're no respecter of person, Father God, because you love us all when you sent Jesus for us. You told us that we had value, we had purpose, we had meaning to you. When Jesus said, I in them and thou in me, that thou would be made perfect in one, and thou would know it that thou hast sent me. We thank you, Father God. We thank you that when you sent him, you loved us as much as you loved him. Father God, I pray right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, even for the world, but specifically for the men, Father God. We are being tested and challenged, bombarded in every way, Father God, to be pulled astray, to be distracted, Father God, because, Father, you know that the men were designed to lead, Father God, to be a representation of you. And yet, Father God, Satan is busy doing his job to try to prevent that in every shape, form, and fashion. But I stand strong today, Father God, with a hope and a belief and a faith, Father God, a giant moving faith like the young son who would become one day king. He was a shepherd, but he became king because he remembered what you brought him through from the past, you would bring him forward in the future. Father God, I believe that men were designed to be the kings, Father God, to go forward and be victorious, to lead by example, to be the high representation, Father God, of the image bearer of Christ. So I thank you, Father God, as I go forward. And I pray for those, Father God, who have not accepted personal Lord and Savior. This is the most important thing of all. Once we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior and let the old man be put behind us and the new man, the new creation to move us forward, Father God, we become victorious in you. When we confess to you, Father God, with our mouth and believe in our hearts that Christ died upon the cross for our sins, we could be saved. Once the salvation manifests, Father God, I thank you from that moment on. We can grow to that spiritual maturity, that mark of perfection. Help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Help every man in the name of Jesus, but everyone in this world to accept you as a personal Lord and Savior, as well as to be endowed with the power of the Holy Spirit that would give us power, would give us the ability to move forward because he would guide us, direct us, counsel us, correct us, illuminate your scriptures to us so that we could make those sound, wise decisions. Why? Because you gave us the Spirit of love and a sound mind. And I pray, Father God, this day that we will go forward to operate in that in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. This is a golden opportunity, again, because God has allowed me to have this breath and strength today to come forward, Father God, and be able to say in you, Father God, that we could be victorious. I thank you, Father God. Father God, I know that there are a lot of things going on in the world today, but I praise you, Father God, that this day, Father God, we will be victorious in you. I praise you, Lord. I thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Today I want to present some scriptures, hallelujah, straight out, because today is the power of the word that is so important. These scriptures tells us out of 1 Peter 2:25, for you were straying like sheep, but I have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your soul. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And out of Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with thee, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he is that thou goest with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Hallelujah. And out of a few quotes I just want to send forward is that the hardest thing of all for a soldier is to retreat. We can't go backward. Like the man that's plowing, he can't look back. We have to keep moving forward. Hallelujah. Duke of Wellington. And again, Father God, I thank you for this quote. The most significant quality of a soldier is his confidence in God, his confidence in who lives in and who represents outside of him. And he is God's image bearer. Hallelujah. But I want to share a quick story. I won't be before you long. At least that's how it always starts out. A quick story, and it goes like this. One day my son came to me and said, "What is the value of a human in this world?" I was surprised by his question. I thought for a moment. I said, "David, it is very difficult to judge the value of any human being because of our value, because our value is priceless." At the time, David was young, and he really couldn't understand, and thus asked, "How is that? If the price of all human beings is priceless, then why is it that some get less respect than others, and others get more?" I said to him, I tried to help him to understand, and I presented him a piece of iron bar laying in the yard, and then I asked him, "What do you think the iron piece would cost?" David replied, "5 RS, which is basic relevance substance. And I asked him, "If I make small nails out of this piece, then what would it be? What would be the cost?" David thought for a while, and he said, "Doing this will increase the price, and it will be sold for 1,200 RS. Now I ask, "What if I use it to make a lot of springs for watches? Then what would the price be?" David replied, "We would get a lot more money for this." Thus I smiled and said, "You see, the value of a man is just like this piece of bar iron. Value of a man is not what it is in the present moment, but what it can become in the future." You see, we all make mistakes many times and estimates our worth. Seeing our present status, we start to consider ourselves as valueless or meaningless, especially if we made a lot of poor decisions that didn't produce the best outcome. And even more, not the outcome God had intended for us. Yet we should not just give a value on ourselves in the present moment, but strive daily, as Paul said, towards the mark of perfection or mature spiritual maturity to improve, to become a workman that need not be ashamed. Because then we will truly see our value in Christ. And what is that? We are God's masterpiece. Hallelujah. So the show I want to present to you today, which is a little different, but this is where the Spirit led me. Gone astray because we have a crack in our armor. You see, I served an honorable 37 years in the Army, almost 2 retirement careers. If I hadn't got hurt in Afghanistan, I would have completed and done 40 years, which would have been 2 retirements. Even if I didn't achieve this goal, one thing that I was able to gain was much knowledge about myself as a person, as a man, and people. And for the most part, all from all walks of life and all the things that are around me in the world. But when I look at TV and I see the movies, I can say for the most part, I have been in some of those locations, or at least close proximity of them. Where I have gone in and I've done this and I've done that, and I've gathered a lot of facts as I move forward. But as I move forward, I wasn't a saved young man. For one, I knew of God, but I didn't know God. I have to say I operated in an ungodly fashion and was willing to try anything and everything that my imagination and my thought would create that led me to participate in some behaviors that most people from the Christian standpoint would say is unacceptable. However, the world would say it was fine. In other words, they said, I live life to the max. But even as a child, everything I was doing, I always wanted to do more. I just could not do one thing. When I had a paper route, I had 3. When I had a job, I had 2. And if there were material things I brought more. I dated any way I could, anybody I could, just enjoying my youthful years right into my middle age years. However, looking back, I learned a great lesson which caused me to develop a way of dealing with life with a mentality that I think that would help me be able to be more focused going forward, because my experiences allowed me to have an experience that many people would never have in a lifetime. And in all those experiences, there was always a trade-off, the good, the bad, and indifferent. There was always a price to pay, which I didn't truly understand and grasp at the time. The price that I was paying was developing cracks in my armor, if I look at it today. These cracks were in my mind, my heart, my spirit, and in my behavior. You see, the illusion of life that Satan was giving me caused me to be, as Malcolm X stated, hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok, and flat out deceived. And as I talk to men on a daily basis, whether I'm talking to groups or whether I'm talking to individuals or whether I'm in a group myself, I can see that many men have been through the same thing. Now, the one thing about many men is that, or males in general, they're not always be so quick to talk about it, especially when it comes down to confessing anything that would appear to make them look not in their best light. And that's unfortunate because there are many men struggling out here today trying to figure out how to make those quality decisions or those educated decisions or those wise decisions that will move them forward, and especially if they've gotten saved, to move them forward towards that spiritual maturity. But in many cases, there's not many men talking to one another, not in the way that we should be talking. This is why me as a young man who was hanging around older men who their information that they received was passed down to them was misleading, misguiding. But on the surface, and if you looked at it from a worldly standpoint, it would appear to be okay. So most of us would go and follow suit, hanging out, doing things, drinking, smoking, carousing, and all the things, trying to make money, trying to get the hustle. And if we look at our present-day media, that's pretty much what it has led to. Now, in the period when I grew up, there was some apparently stable shows that we would watch on TV that had some moral and gave some kind of value. But today, morality is kind of going out the window. Today, wisdom is kind of going out the window. It's just more about impulse and reaction versus wisdom and proaction. Excuse me. The question sometimes may arise in many people, why is he saying this? Because in my travel and career, I have talked to thousands of people like me, either in companies or presentations, as I mentioned earlier. And I learned that in the process that we as men were being compromised. The soul of a man was being compromised, where we began to be unsound in our mind, our emotions become unstable, and we're truly not in line with God's word. The prisons are filled with people who operated out of an unsound mind, who were emotionally unstable, and not because they came into the world with some biological dysfunction or deficit, but no, because of the cares of the world had begun to take a toll on these men and young men even more today. We see presently right now young men are taking their lives and they're taking other people's lives. We see the lack of responsibility and accountability as we see our men move forward. Now, I must point out, this is not every man. But unfortunately, what the media will do is portray it, and so all men get incumbent into this ideal that men are going backwards and not forward. This is a celebration of Women's Month and the leaps and strides and things that women are accomplishing today because they're moving forward. They're moving forward. They're taking charge of this freedom that was once impeding them from moving forward to be their best. Now they're taking charge. Potentially, we're going to see our first African-American Supreme Court judge, female Supreme Court judge. We have our first female vice president. But in the process, as we're looking at our men today, when they portray the image of men today, men are not taking that representation seriously that we're supposed to be image bearers of Christ, therefore causing them to live in a life that would cause many to be led astray, deceived on what a man is, what a man should do, and what a man should be like, especially a man of God. As men, we are conditioned by the world standard, therefore causing us to conform to the worldview and philosophy that is not God-centered, but more self-centered, which is for the most part causing us to be fleshly driven, not spiritually driven. It's no wonder when we see men fall by the wayside, defeated in their walk and in their life because they are not connected to the God center. Why? Because we are operating from a fleshly weaponry, which is ineffective in a spiritual battle or war. See, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:3-4, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments or imaginations or high things that try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
As I stated earlier in my walk and my view, I was more like the prodigal son who took the attitude to strike out on his own, to pursue whatever thought I had, and to go up my way. However, the word tells us in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But let me highlight the prodigal son's story. Because as I'm telling this, I see many men who have been the prodigal son, if they're honest to tell you the truth. Now, if we want to play this hand, we know that women have their struggles too. But at this point, I'm more focused on the men because as I sit down and I mentor boys on Sunday and Monday, and I watch the boys. I watch the boys. And the boys are losing a level of, if you will, masculinity. They're losing a level of confidence. They're losing a level of certainty about who they are, the way they walk, the way they talk, the way they sit. Their concentration is very, very limited. They can't focus. They can't be still. All this is because there are certain things that are happening, whether it's in the families or the community, that is depriving our boys from being able to be centered. So obviously, I was talking to my other mentor, if we wasn't doing what we're doing, and we're doing a lot, we're teaching them Arabic language right now. And the mentor is much older, yes, but we're teaching them Arabic language right now. We're teaching them financial security right now. We're teaching them health right now. We're teaching the basic foundations to prepare them for their future. But they struggle. And again, it's not some biological issues that's causing them to have some mental, emotional breakdown. But again, they're being compromised. One of the 4-year-olds, soon to be 5, was exposed to his father, almost being shot. And his father doesn't want to seem to change his lifestyle, traumatizing this young kid. So we're seeing young boys struggling. But see, young boys become young men, and young men become middle-aged men, and middle-aged men become elder men. And if nothing changes in their development that moves them towards the image of Christ, then we see these kids who are emotionally and mentally unstable. They become emotionally and mentally unstable men. But let me just highlight again out of Luke 15:11-32. And he said, a certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the portion of my goods that falleth to me. And he divided them unto his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into the far country. There wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, out of the New International Bible says, however, here he says, He squandered his wealth in the wild living. Out of the New Living Translation, he said, there he wasted all his money in wild living. And then the Orthodox Jewish Bible says, he squandered his riches with sexual immorality and loose living. And out of the Message Bible said, there, undisciplined, anticipated, he wasted everything he had. What we can see is that the young man had allowed himself to become conformed to the worldly illusion Satan had put in his mind, to believe that this was the way to become a man and how a man should live. You see, Romans 12:2 says, now be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, I have been exposed to many men from all walks of life. It is nothing that I read about or saw in the news or in the movies, but I personally experienced, listened to, and saw men who were just like the prodigal son, who were centered on fleshly desires and worldly thirsts. And if you turn on any of these shows, and I have family members that love these shows, Power, Empire, and Ghosts, and the list just goes on. And when you see these shows, you see young kids now gangbanging, drugging, selling drugs, inappropriate conversations, or the way they communicate, killing. How can our boys become wholesome men? How can they become responsible and accountable men? What are we doing as men to prevent this? And I get it. Every generation has a set of elders who pass on information to the younger. But if the elder is not prepared himself, he is compromised mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Then he operates physically in an inappropriate fashion, and that is the model that is set up. Then what will the young one do? Emulate what he sees. And this is what we're seeing today. Why? Because, again, they're being conformed to the world. They're being conformed to the world. And like the prodigal son, when the world turns his back on him and he is in his worst state of life, he has an awakening. You see, Luke 15:17 says this, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and spare enough, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. You see, the good thing in this story that there was a father who was trying to teach. There was a father in the home. And they tell us that when a father's not in the home, there's a higher probability of high school dropout. There's a higher probability of substance abuse. There's a higher probability of a lifestyle in crime. There's a higher probability that suicide will be a part of their lifestyle. Suicide now has moved from the teens now into the adolescents. You see, Satan is busy wiping out our men. And I get it because I have no bones about admitting the decisions that I made that caused me to go astray. Now, God being God, who would never leave me, forsake me, and I believe it's because there were the women, because I don't recall only one person in my male circle at the time who was a praying man, and that was my grandfather. But my mother, my grandmother, who named me after the man after God's own heart, David, they would be praying and standing in the gap. So I believe their covenant as they prayed kept God's hand on me. Because many situations and many environments I was in, that should have been a wrap. And as I sit with, I have multiple men's groups. I sit with a group of 12 men of more seasoned of the ethnicity who now receive me. They seem to be a little distant at the time because I don't look like them. But now they receive me and they look forward to talking to me. One, because I am self-revealing. I'm authentic. I'm going to lay it out to you. You can make a judgment on me if you will, but you can't put me in a heaven or hell. But I don't mind sharing. You know, people always say, well, yeah, I know I sin. We all make mistakes. I don't call them mistakes. I call them decisions. A mistake is my coffee cup is on my desk, and I turn around and knocked it over because I didn't see it. But all these things that we get involved in, this is because we make decisions. We did make the decision, and here's the kicker. Just like Peter, who knew God's word and who was told that he was going to deny Christ three times, went forward and said, like many folk who walk the Christian life, say, I'm turning away from sin. I'm repenting. I'm getting my act together. I'm with you, God. I'm all there for you, God. Many men have said this. And then when the time of reckoning come, they're like Peter. They deny Christ. We deny Christ many times in our walk. But Christ knew this. God knew this. That's why he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all right. Not man, because man is not so quick to forgive. But God has an endless resource, if you will, of forgiveness, for lack of other terms. Peter asked, how many times should a man forgive a man? 7 times 70. He just continues to forgive us. Now, that doesn't mean we get an American Express card to just do as we will and be out of control. But Paul said we should strive towards that mark of perfection. And that's what this show is about, moving forward in the journey to strive towards maturing and being able then to take it back to the youth. When I turned 50, I said, how many days had I been on this planet? My goal is to live to be 100 in sound mind and sound body. But when I turned 50, I realized that I had been on this planet 18,250 days. If I get blessed and God see fit, if I make my 100, that's 36,500 days. That's a lot of days. When we think about long life, we look at it in years. But if you take the years of 100 and put it to 36,000, God truly gives us long life. But what we do with that life. And as I walk my own journey, I recognize that sometimes it takes some people longer than others. You see, Moses didn't really get out there till he was in his 80s. Abraham didn't really take off till after he was over his 70s. And so as we look, Noah didn't do a whole lot till he was close to 100. So as we're looking at when God is going to use someone, we don't know. But we got to be ready. And if we are blessed enough to get God's word in us in an earlier time in life, we should continue to strive. And like me on horseback riding, just because I got through off, doesn't mean I didn't get back on. That's how my life has been. And I share this with many people, many men, many. I just joined another group because I'm striving to help us to be able to stay in the race. To be the son that's willing to go back, even if we went too far, if we went too far. But bringing this full circle, how many of us have come to this point as men and rise and turn to the Heavenly Father to seek forgiveness with the hope of a new direction? The gospel singer and songwriter Fred Hammond said it perfectly when he said, when he asked the question, how can you forgive me when I've gone astray? How can you think of me when I do things my way, turning my back from you, the one who loved me first, having my own desire, renewing worldly thirst. What does this worldly thirst and world and desire come from? Well, it comes from Satan, who will put temptation before us. He presents everything in such a nice, well-packed, wrapped package that it appears to be tempting, desirable, and want and something that we would want. You see, when I was studying with the Buddhists, they said wants and desires create pain and suffering in some form or fashion at some level. Jesus understood this even more. When he, out of Matthew 4:11, he was presented, then Jesus, who was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that cometh out the mouth, from the mouth of God. Jesus was tempted. Then the devil took him to the holy city. You see, this is the other part. Temptation comes back to back to back every day. But the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written. See, Satan knows the word too. He will command his angels concerning you, and then he will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Jesus, being wise, being spiritually sound, founded, and being moved by the Holy Spirit, Jesus answered, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high place. He didn't let up. And showed him all the kingdom of the world and its splendor. And he said, all this I will give, he said, if you will bow down and worship. You see, he brings those things that are appealing, that is tempting, that is desirable. I know. I know. And see, I don't, again, create no illusion about it. I saw it. I wanted it. I went after it. That's just the way they conditioned me growing up. Those were the things I saw as I look at these shows when I stop over my mom's and my brothers and they're looking at it. And I see nothing but temptation. Cars, women, clothes, power, status, control. He offered this to Jesus. He took him up high so he could see it all. To see it all. And for most of us who are in this fleshly realm, if you will, in this fleshly body, in this earthly realm, it has its appeal. So we should not fool ourselves, if you will. We need to be realistic, because men are in the struggle, and Satan plans to destroy us all. But he said, all this I will give you if you will bow down and worship. We got more billionaires than ever, and we got even more black billionaires than ever. I say that not because I want to separate the race or the ethnicity, but we know that for a period of time, various ethnicities will push back, but the opportunities come up. So now those things what we complained about for other ethnicity, we have now become, and the pendulum is swung the other way. We forget about where we come from at times. But that's what Satan will do. Wrap the package to make it look good and desirable. Then he will do his will with you. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and the angels came to attend to him. We need to be taught the devices of our enemy. Because, you see, even though we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, he used flesh and blood to make us have these problems, or at least create the ideal that we should have these problems. But we have to learn through God's word, through God's teaching, through studying, meditating, communicating with God through prayer, and spending that quality time, not only just to ask and request, but to praise and listen and to give thanks, so we can be fortified with the power of God's word. The Holy Spirit is there in us once we receive him and we receive the Holy Spirit. But once he's in us, we got to feed it. The old saying goes, which bear would be the strongest? The one you feed. But when we don't have men telling our young men the importance of feeding the spirit and not the flesh, which one will grow? I see this with these young boys. I see this. I see this when I see the young boys say, when the instructor, the coach, is teaching financial literacy, and she gives them a scenario, and she said, you have this amount of money, what would you buy? They're buying Jordans. $300 pair of gym shoes. They only got $1,000. One kid said he would sleep in his car before he would get a place to stay. He would not eat. What is being presented? And so again, the mind is formulated pretty much at the age of 5, the personality, and now it's just built upon. And if it's built upon with negativity, lies, deception, and foolishness that has no real wisdom and knowledge to it, garbage in, garbage out. So we have to be careful, because we know that Satan is trying to do us a disservice. Satan has and always will, until Jesus returns, attempt to deceive us. And once we begin to come from under his lies, he will attack us. See, once he can keep us deceived, he's just going to keep doing just that. And there's no major attack because we're willing participants. But when we try to turn around, and I know this part of it now, blessed to live this long to see, now he's on the attack. He's going to come at what's most important to you than ever. My mom lived 80 years, and now she's being attacked physically. All the years she would go to the doctor, they would tell her, you're a blessed woman. You're a blessed woman. But now she goes, and Satan attacks 3 different major parts of her body on the attack. Satan is always trying to attack those when you're about the business of God. Yet in this process, as we move through this journey, like myself, we find ourselves asking this question, what do we do? How do we do it? And how do we get started? Again, Brother Fred, the lyrics that say, points out some of our thoughts and emotions during the transitional period when we are attempting to spiritually mature in Christ. You see, the lyrics show us a man like the prodigal son in a dilemma on what to do as he recalled what he was told. He says, you told me you love me, and I should make up my mind. You tell me come back now, but I keep wasting time, feeling so very weak. How can we see like the prodigal son that Satan's tactics move from an illusion of wants and desire to confusion, sadness, guilt, and despair, causing men to feel unworthy to return to the one who loved them first? Why? Because the mind, heart have been weakened to the point of not feeling we are worthy to return. Yet God loves us so that the scripture tells us in Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to the heart, to the brokenhearted, and save those who are crushed in spirit. I would imagine the prodigal son, and I've been there too, crushed in spirit, shamed, feeling guilty. Because again, those praying warriors was praying for me, but I wanted to do things my way. And we can associate some of that to the youth, because the prodigal son seems to be a young man. But the brother didn't go out like that. So some of us make poor decisions just by the makeup of who we are. Isaiah 43:18 said, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. So Satan will have us to go back to the former, to entertain our past life, because he gets in the mind. He gets in the mind. But the scripture tells us in Isaiah 43:1, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. You see, the lyrics tells us again that our Lord informed the prodigal son that you say I can be strong. He tells him you can be strong. But we would turn back and say, I feel I've gone too far. But our God would say, come on home. Satan can convince us that there's no way we can come back to God. And we may even continue to go our own way. But we know that we're not good enough. We would feel that we're not good enough. And Satan will continue to use those tricks to keep us caught up, despite endless love. But the lyrics said this again. You love me still, and I know this is real. And then he comes and say, why did I go away when I know that I'm no good on my own? But you told me you could keep me, but I turned it away. I failed you so much now. I don't know what to say. Using the same excuse that I'm just a man. You tell me you've been there. It is this excuse that we use that we are just a man. But the lyrics tells us Jesus said he understands. He says, I show us his nail-scarred hand so that we can see, so we know that we are free. But sometimes Satan will attack the mind again, causing us to have to feel ungrateful and feel that we were too selfish. But the lyric says this again, taking advantage of your love and grace. But again, the prodigal son rises up to come to his spiritual true senses and make a most important request. This is the blessing of blessings. Forgive me, Lord. Take me home. Take me home. See, like the prodigal son, he looks up and he says, I am running to you, Jesus. Please take me home. See, I've been in this wrong way too long, and I can't do right anymore. I'm tired of pain, and I don't like fear. But, Lord, I want to be more sincere. I never should have left your side. Return me to your guiding light, for you are there standing there for me. And like in Luke 20, whose father sees his son in the distance, he says, and he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet great way off, his father still saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. For this is my son who was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and now he is found. Be merry. So is true with our Heavenly Father, who celebrates when we awaken to his truth, his life, and his way. Here we truly begin to become image bearers of Christ and men after God's own heart. So, brothers, as we go forward, let us move to recognize it's never too late. Let us move to recognize the value that God placed upon us. Let us move to recognize that God loved us so much that he would send his only begotten son. He would send his man, if you will, to prepare us, develop us, to help us to become the best we can be. And all this was done in love. You see, as we move through this week, let us return to our Heavenly Father. Let's move towards the Heavenly Father and have him to seal the cracks in our armor so we can truly be effective soldiers in God's army in order that we can take iron and sharpen iron to help our brothers who have gone astray so they would come back to God's way. So when we become this, as in Mark 10:35-45, Jesus explained, he said, I came as the Son of Man to give my life for as ransom. For even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. See, it's no more about me, myself, and I. Our purpose is to serve. Our purpose is to exercise humility to the point that we will bow down and wash our brother's feet. Now, I know that that's a very hard task when pride gets in the way. But see, love ain't about pride. Love is not about self-seeking. Love strives to protect, always to protect, to bear all things, to create hope for all things, develop trust for all things, and to always preserve the love that God gives us that never fails. As we move forward through the week, and we find ourselves being tempted to go astray, let us recognize the story of the prodigal son and recognize there's a father we can come to, and he will receive us with open arms, and he will celebrate our return. And if we're in the walk and we're on the journey and it appears that we're moving according to God's plan, then let us never give up fighting the good fight and stand in the race till we attain the prize. But we need to pass it forward. We need to pass it back. We need to pass it on to our youth. We need to be the models that our youth need to see. We need to communicate with one another. We need to be open and honest with one another. We need to take time with each other. What I find with men, they ain't got time. They're quick, fast, and they're ready to just get right through it. They complain that females talk a lot. But in that talking, there's relationships that's being developed. There's bonds that's being developed. I love it when I go to a McDonald's and I see all these seasoned men together talking. I don't see no youth. So the season is seasoning the season. When the season should be passing that flavor down to the young, helping them. We look for mentors, but we can't find them. When my partner started this, he had 350 boys. He couldn't get 10 men. But we complain about them. We got to do something, man. We got to stand up. We got to relate. We can't. I was listening to someone say that we got to get the message out quick. Say what you got to say and get it quick, quick, fast, in a hurry. We want the microwave responses. But the Bible got, if I got it right, the Bible got 66 books. And it's rare that I read anything. Someone said, get to the point. God could have got to the point and said, I tell you what, you sin, you die. You going to hell, right to the point. But he thought and he deemed it so much, if you will, he deemed it so important that he would give us example after example, promise after promise. And it wasn't, as I look at this book, it wasn't quick, fast, in a hurry. Man, we got to slow down. How can someone listen to you when you're talking so fast, when I'm not talking about in your rate? I'm talking about you talking so fast because you want to get it out there and be gone. But you mad because your son just went to jail. You mad because your son just became a murderer. You mad because your son don't respect you, don't like you. You mad because your son say he hates you. The sins of the father. But we want to bring the sons back to the father. We want to bring the sons back to the Father. Our program is called Emmy, Encourage Me, I'm Young. We're teaching Emmy future leaders. This Saturday, we're going to have a pancake breakfast. And we're getting the boys to serve the people. Servitude with a higher level of having a God-driven attitude. This is what we got to do, people. Men, we have to step up. So I am thankful that God gave me an opportunity, as I started early, a golden opportunity to be alive. And all the shenanigans, there are things that I've done that should have took me out, and it wasn't my fault. War is not my fault. But even then, I missed it. If it wasn't in my mind or my actions, it was in my heart and my spirit. But God still protected me. Because, son, I waddled in the pigsty. But I knew where to come. And there were people standing in the gap. So, men, we got to do what we have to do. We have to step up. We got to be willing to serve, not just be served. So, again, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this is the beginning of moving towards servitude. Accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and believing in your heart that he died for you. This is the most important thing of all the ministry, that you get saved. And again, it's not going to be an easy journey. I can tell you, I fight every day. Temptation comes my way every day. Sometimes I won't even leave the house. And sometimes I can't even turn the TV on. Because temptation is coming to me every day. And again, I'm not ashamed. Anybody asks me directly, I'll tell them what it is. Because I know that I ain't the only one. I know Peter. You know, I've gotten to the point now I'm a little more outspoken. I kind of maybe get like my mom. Because as she got older, she got a little more outspoken. In the early years, she was a little docile. She spoke up when necessary. But now she really lets you have it. And again, I'll tell people, this is what time it is. We cannot continue to perpetrate the walk. We got to strive in the walk, mature in the walk, and we got to let people know when we fail. This is what I did. Muhammad Ali was notorious for always talking about where he missed it and what he needed to do to get better. And so when a blow came his way, he said, I've been here before. This is what I need to do. So it's great now to be in a position to recognize when the devices are, when Satan's devices are coming my way, I have a little more to work with than I did in the past. So this journey, this walk, once you get saved, is, like I said, is not the easiest, but it's the most rewarding. The peace that I get when Satan comes to try to get in my head. And that I was talking about on a prayer group this morning, and I think it's Magneto and Xavier in the show X-Men. And see, when we talk about the armor, the helmet of salvation, I kind of think about it because Xavier, who was in the wheelchair, could read the mind of all people, especially the mutants. But there was one who was his friend that didn't want him to read his mind. That was Magneto. So he would put a helmet on his head. Xavier couldn't read his mind. The helmet of salvation is designed to protect our mind because Satan will make that his battlefield for us. And if we have no armor, if we don't have the helmet of salvation, and we don't have the breastplate of righteousness, and we don't have the shield of the sword of the spirit, and the shield of faith, and the belt of truth, and the shoes of peace, we go into battle naked. Go into battle naked. And you go to a, as they say, you don't go to a gunfight with a knife. So we need all the armor. But again, as I mentioned earlier, iron sharper iron, we have to pass this on to help our other men, especially our young ones coming forward, to help them to be prepared. So again, it's a journey, but reach out, men. Talk to each other. Spend quality time with each other. Actually have a real conversation, a heart-to-heart conversation with each other. Express your emotions. And pray that God will put the people who can handle that, because some people can't. They haven't got to that spiritual maturity or even that emotional, mental maturity. But ask God to provide a man in your life, another man in your life that will help you to grow, and then you pass it on, and we keep passing on. We're not going to change what the plan that God has going forward as we move into the prophecies of the last 500 prophecies out of the 2,500 as we move forward. but we can help others and be prepared like the five bridesmaids. Get their oil and be ready. Let's help our young men, our boys, get ready. This is FM AM for men, about men. Let us be true men and be iron to sharpen iron. Again, there are many dynamic men who comes on the on Kingdom Builder Development Institute. So we want to continue to keep this going. So again, we recommend that you sow into the ministry, and it's www.givify.com, which is spelled GiveLify.com. If you want to email us, email us at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com, kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. And if you want to contact us directly, call it 313-583-9739. It's time for us to step up, but always imparting. You pray for me, I pray for you, and watch the mightiness God will do through each one of us men to be victorious in him. God bless you. Again, be the iron to sharpen iron. And if there's cracks in your armor, ask God to seal them so we can be ready for the battle, because it's coming. God bless.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship. Lift your hands and bless them in this place.
Come on, say it.